welcome back to the Reawakening Podcast. I'm Brian Ingraham, and my heart is to see our whole generation reawakened to walk in fresh, close, long-lasting, life-giving connection to the God of the Bible. Today, we're going to talk about one of my favorite concepts, this idea of pursuing a life where you're living with actual peace, where you feel peace on the inside and full of actual joy, where you are happy and you are overflowing with joy. And as I say these words, peace and joy, there's so many people who are like, oh, that could not be me. I could not imagine my life being full of peace and joy. I mean, Brian, my life is full of this stress or this challenge or that challenge, or these people are in my life, and that pretty much means peace and joy is not a possibility. Short answer, no, that's a lie. And so I get the joy of talking today about my journey of peace and joy and pursuing peace and joy so that I could be living with it, whatever the circumstances. And I have this categorized as a lesson on emotional self-leadership. I call this emotional self-leadership. When it comes to our emotions, and especially the intense ones, we tend to take a victim posture, right? Like we're very passive. We have these feelings. This is how we feel. This is what's going on with us. I want to talk today about the difference between being passive with our emotions and being proactive. Instead of being passive with our emotions, being proactive, we tend to be very passive and victim-y. Victim-y, I don't even know if that's a word. Victim-ish when it comes to our feelings. That victim-driven perspective gets supercharged when there's hurt going on, when we feel hurt about, you know, that person did this to us, or this work situation, or this betrayal, or whatever. We can supercharge these victim feelings, and we can basically let our emotions get wildly out of control. The Bible says things like, do not let your heart be troubled, or do not worry. Do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, or do not fear. Or I guess conversely, it gives us positive things like rejoice always, be patient in hope. Like the Bible is very clear about this concept of emotional self-leadership, where we are directed to not let ourselves be discouraged. And I think that's just such a weird idea for people. Wait, Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. Do I even have a choice? I feel troubled. Now, I know that's in the context of heaven and salvation and is it real? But in general, like, we have a choice when it comes to our feelings. And yet most people just let their feelings be their feelings. They're just passive about it, and they're not proactive about leading their emotions and leading their heart. You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to live discouraged or depressed. Now, again, I'm not talking about chemical imbalances there. That's a little bit of a different thing. But when we're talking about like just pure emotions and our emotional realities, we can be proactive to lead ourselves so that we can actually have peace, whatever the circumstances, a peace that passes understanding, that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and that we can live with a joy, with a very real joy. And I'm going to talk about my journey in these two areas today and kind of growth in that, because I started like everybody else very much with a victim mentality, and our world is full of it. I have these feelings of love towards this person, or I have these feelings and there's nothing I can do about it. I have these feelings, so I should act on them. No, you don't need to act on your anger. You don't need to act on your feelings of attraction here. You don't need to act on your discouragement or retaliation. We can lead our emotions, and we can lead our emotions in sync and in line with God and with those fruit of the Spirit, especially the ones I want to talk about today, peace and joy. And I guess to tip my hand a little bit, I find that when I'm full of peace and joy, love flows a million times better. I exude the compassion of Jesus with so much more consistency and with a genuine affection, a genuine love, when I'm feeling the peace and the joy, whatever my circumstances. In my experience, peace rarely just like hits me out of nowhere without intentionality, or joy rarely just hits me. I mean, I might be having a good time with friends and I might be really happy and is just enjoying, or maybe a season of success or ease or faith. You know, there is that sort of a thing. But in troubled times and in normal times, I don't want to speak that over myself, troubled is normal, but in challenging times, peace and joy, they're not usually the quickest things to hit me. And so I want to be consistent in my life. I want to be consistent in being a joyful person. I want to be consistent in being a person with peace. And that is going to be the result of being intentional in my emotional self-leadership. I say to you, lead your heart. Guide your feelings. As I've said, I am 1,000% a better person, a better leader, a better husband, a better dad when I am feeling peace on the inside. I am a better pastor. I'm a better preacher when I'm feeling peace and joy, when I'm feeling the joy of the Lord. And there doesn't need to be any change in my circumstances. Okay, so briefly, let me just tell you my journey towards joy and then my journey towards peace. They happened one at a time, but I remember about 12 years ago, my sister used to live here in Scotland, and she came up to me one day and she just said these words that just hit. I don't know what the right words is, but life-changing words for sure. And the word she said is, Brian, you don't laugh anymore. Brian, you don't laugh anymore. And my first thought was, well, you're used to holiday, Brian, when I'm free from the stress of life and just the challenges of church planting and all of that in Scotland. But those words, you don't laugh anymore, they haunted me. And I asked myself in that moment, Brian, don't you want to live with joy? Can you live with joy in these stresses? Well, I believe I can. And that started me on a journey to learn how to pursue being a joyful person, even though there was going to be no other change in my circumstances. I was going to stay in my job. I was going to stay with my team. I was going to stay in the same pressures, the same challenges, same everything. But I was going to start a journey towards living the same life, but having joy, being quicker to laugh, being quicker to be happy. And I didn't know where to go on that journey, but I knew that that's the path that I was going to try and figure out. A very similar journey when it came to peace. It wasn't that long ago, some years ago, maybe 5 years ago, where I just felt like God was pushing me on the area of being a more peace-filled person and more calm, less reactive and less stressed and less thrown by life. And I'm like, wow, is that possible? Is it possible to have peace when there's no other changes, when everything stays the same? In fact, actually, truthfully, where in a process in life got more complicated, where my job situation got more challenging. This is right before COVID happened and the leadership challenges of going into COVID and through COVID. Yeah, so the question was, if there's no changes or even if things get worse, could I figure out how to be more peaceful as a person? Good news for me, good news for my church, good news for my team, great news for my wife is that I worked those journeys and I figured out that process of how I could be a person with joy and with peace. And instead of talking about this journey with like pop psychology terms or whatever, I have come to this journey with a very spiritual path. So I think far superior emotional self-leadership is done spiritually with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of good and helpful stuff out there, and you know, knock yourself out. For me, I find a far more superior path of my own personal journey has been deeply connected to Jesus, my faith, and the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about the path where I believe anyone in any context, no matter how wounded, no matter how stress-filled their lives are, no matter how much failure they are experiencing or how much hopelessness they're experiencing or how discouraged they are or how stuck they are in life, or even in difficult, painful relationship situations, I believe that everyone with intentionality, taking a spiritual approach of emotional self-leadership, can have a completely, drastically more wonderful, peace-filled, joy-filled experience in life. I'm going to talk about this in five steps. I think as I walked this journey twice with two different things, realized that my own journey was very similar over time, just applied in different directions. And so I see five different steps and pieces of moving from here to there. There being much more peace, much more consistent peace. There being joy, much more consistent joy, the kind of peace and joy that allows love to flow through you and into the people's lives around you, the compassion of Jesus in such a powerful, wonderful way. And so the first thing that I set out to do is I just set my aim. Number one, I set my aim to live with peace. I set my aim to live with joy. I started grabbing onto scriptures that were declarative. This is the life that I'm going to pursue, and these are going to be my values. Brian Ingraham, the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. So often when there's stresses and there's things weighing you down, you don't feel strong. You feel weak. You feel worn out. And I'm like, well, okay, that's how I'm normally going to feel, but I don't want to feel worn down. I want to feel strong in the Lord, and I want to have the joy of the Lord be my strength. I mean, when I'm preaching, I can preach a message and feel exhausted and discouraged by it, or I can preach the same message and have a much better experience, feel much more invigorated, depending on my heart's posture, my expectancy, and especially the joy that I take with me into that thing. One of the psalms that is just striking me so hard in 2023 is serve the Lord with gladness. When I read that during read-through several months ago, serve the Lord with gladness, I'm like, yes, that captures the Brian that I want to be. I want to be someone who serves Jesus with gladness. And then a few weeks ago at pre-service prayer, there was another line from Psalm 23, which just captured this same vision. I will fear no evil, for you, God, are with me. I will fear no evil. I'm not going to give away to stress. I am going to choose peace. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to be peaceful. I will fear no evil because God is with me. So I set my aim, and then I seek for my verses. That could be a second one, but it's not really a second one. It's all part of that setting of the aim. And when I set my aim, I set it with scripture. I set my aim with scripture verses that are a vision for myself. You know, and in the past, it's been like, do not let your heart be troubled. I quoted that from John, and I'm like, I'm not gonna let myself be troubled by the circumstances. I'm just not gonna let my heart be troubled. I set my aim. I am super clear with myself that I am going to be a man that is peace-filled, joy-filled, that is exuding joy and is calm on the inside, very, very calm on the inside. And I reject everything within me that says that I must respond a certain way because I feel flashes of these feelings. I'm not going to be a victim of my circumstances and the natural feelings. I am going to be setting my aim to live with peace and joy. Now, I do want to say that this is not supposed to be applied to healthy, good emotions that feel sad, like grief, like good, godly grief. I don't want to like rid that from my life. That's good. That's godly. And so I'm not talking about that sort of a thing. I'm just talking about emotions such as worry, stress, hopelessness, discouragement, those kinds of emotions. So again, so don't over apply this to things that are actually good. It is good and healthy to have godly grief in certain circumstances. But yes, I set my aim generally to live with peace and joy, number one. Number two, I set my soul in my Jesus time. I set my soul during my Jesus time. And again, life has a lot of bombardment of negative, challenging, overwhelming things. And so if I don't have regular practices for me every morning, if I don't every morning have that Jesus time, then things quickly build up and it's very hard to get on top of my own emotions and situations. So every morning, no matter what's happened the day before, I sit down with Jesus I have my Jesus time, and I bring stressful situations to Jesus, hurtful relationship situations to Jesus. People challenges, stuck situations, questions that I might have, fears, worries, or anxieties that I might have, and bring my situation to Jesus. Then I bring my heart, my feelings, my emotions to Jesus, like the situations, yes, and the feelings, yes. Jesus, I am feeling angry. I am feeling hurt. Please take this hurt. I give you my hurt, and I hand this to you. I hand this situation to you. And then I ask the Holy Spirit to come and heal my heart from these wounds. Heal my heart from this betrayal. Heal my heart from this worry and anxiety that I'm handing this anxiety to you, this worry to you. But I hand that over to Jesus. I also rebuke the enemy during that time for trying to mess with my heart, trying to take a bad situation and make it an evil situation in my heart, just totally get his claws in with anger or desires for revenge. I don't have a particular situation in mind. Just that, like the enemy messing with my heart. And I just start, enemy, you're not allowed to mess with me in the name of Jesus. I declare peace over my heart in the name of Jesus, joy over my heart. Any spirit of worry, get away from me in the name of Jesus. I'm going to trust Jesus in this situation. And I'll ask Jesus for his help, right? Jesus, make my path straight here. That's Proverbs 3. I pray that a lot. Make my path straight. Make my path straight. Heal my heart. So I'm working through my heart with Jesus. Now, there's a lot there. There's bringing the situation, bringing the feelings, asking the Spirit to heal my heart and fill me with joy and peace, rebuking the enemy and all that kind of stuff. And then I also command my heart, like, be still, O my soul. Be still. Be calm. Be calm in the name of Jesus. Be at peace, O my soul. Be at peace, my heart. Joy. I speak joy into my heart and life. And I, even as I'm doing it right now, you can't see me, but I'm putting my hand on my heart, on my chest, and I'm just saying, be still, be at peace, be calm. The Lord has been good to you. The Lord will be good to you. The Lord is with you. You can trust him. And I just speak truth over my heart and in my Jesus time. And again, every morning, if I want to be consistent with my emotional self-leadership, then I need to be consistent with having these regular, effective Jesus times where I can take the toxins, the poisons, the pains, the doubts, the insecurities, and I can bring them before Jesus and get heart healing, soul healing, Holy Spirit healing there. Number three, and if you've been following this podcast, you'll see that I've applied this in other ways when it comes to my leadership, but think like a grandpa. That phrase this last year has just been one of those Jesus phrases to my heart. Think like a grandpa, which means be bigger picture. Zoom back on these circumstances. I'll tell you honestly, most of the most painful situations I've ever lived through in my life, most of the most painful situations, disappointing situations, the biggest setbacks I've ever lived through, the most emotionally impacting moments of my life, the most hurtful ones, honestly, I can hardly remember them anymore. I mean, I know that they happened, but the things in the past, like, I'm not stuck there. I'm not stuck there. And okay, I'll tell you, one of the biggest ones from a long time ago, it's 2006, and we made all this effort. I felt a lot of failure in this. It's not my favorite thing to feel failure, but in 2006, we tried to buy a church building in Scotland near the University of Glasgow. And we had been renting in this, and it was just, my heart was in this. I loved this building that we started the church in, and then we'd been moved out, and then we were able to move back in. It's miraculously a miraculous story. And I remember, just how we first ended up meeting in there and just the Jesus stuff that took place for us to get able to rent that facility. I remember sitting in the balcony in that place, just singing and worshiping and just calling on God for his help in these early years, 2005, 2006. I mean, my heart was in it. And then the day came where we had to move out. We had to clear out of the space because the owners were going to sell it. The school that owned it was selling. And so what we did is we did a big fundraising thing where we got the building valued and we're like, okay, as a church building, this building is worth 300,000 pounds. If it could be converted into other things, which it did not have permission for, maybe a half million, but like 300,000 pounds. And I wanted this, right? And so we went out and all of us missionaries raised money from all of our supporters and we came up with enough for a down payment, about 50,000 pounds. And so we got everything sorted and kind of the loan sort of thing sorted and we're getting in all ready and we put in our bid for this church building and we got outbid by £1 million. 1 million pounds. Somebody offered 1.3 million for that church building. Somebody who wanted to buy all of the land, all of the pieces. There was other pieces with the school, but including that church building, 1.3 million. I mean, we were just no chance of buying that. And how did I feel? I was crushed. I was crushed. And then we had to get out of that church building and we moved one of the churches in the area took us in and we were able to continue to meet in the afternoons in their back room. And it was, okay, I mean, I'm thankful. I'm really thankful that we could continue meeting, but it was so painful to not be able to meet on Sunday mornings anymore. Half of the people left our church because of the move and because of the time change and all this kind of stuff. We didn't have any signage. We were just hidden away in the back room of a church. And that back step just was crushing after being in Scotland for some years here. And I went through a very dark season. I don't get depressed. It's not my wiring, but this is probably the closest I've been, or as far as I can remember, like just so discouraged, so low, and you know, persevering on and putting on a brave face. But man, I was just gutted in that season, week after week, month after month, the church not thriving. I consider this one of the low points in my life and ministry. Before you freak out, it's not the lowest point by far. There is definitely lower points, but this one was bad. You know what though? No matter how painful that was back then, I hardly remember it. I mean, the amount of things that Jesus has done in my life and in this church, in this situation, all hope seemed lost. I remember going month after month and seeing no possible way forward. And yeah, the journey took years. And yeah, it was disappointing and challenging. But zooming back out now and looking back at that time, I hardly remember it. And the church is doing amazing now. It's just thriving now. And so when I say think like a grandpa, I'm talking about zooming way back. And so much of the emotional sharpness, the intense feelings of discouragement or fear or shame or failure or whatever that we might be feeling, they're because we're so intent on a particular situation that's right in our face, that's right in front of us. And so when I say think like a grandpa, I mean zoom back and just, okay, is this something that I'm going to even remember in 10 years? Is it that kind of a thing? You know, maybe. Is it going to hurt in 10 years? I don't know. Maybe. But is it something that needs to hurt in 10 years? Probably not. That's probably going to be because I haven't brought it to Jesus and gone through that healing process. But for me, so much is that Jesus time and then stepping back and putting things into perspective. I am like most people, just captivated by the moment, and yet I need to be intentional. I need to be intentional in my emotional self-leadership by just stepping back and asking the big picture questions. Fourthly, when it comes to emotional self-leadership, I set out to get the basics basically right. And I say basically right because I don't want to be too hard on myself, especially if it's a tough season, but get the basics basically right. When life blows up, I just go back to what I know. I go back to the very basics. Sometimes people just kind of lose the plot and they just get lost. But what are the basics? Food. Eating food, eating healthy food, eating the right food, just getting the basics basically right with food. sleep schedule, getting my sleep schedule right, going to bed, waking up. And you know, if I have a hard time falling asleep and at night because of whatever's on my mind or whatever's going on, I just make sure I get myself up in the morning. It's way easier to go to sleep at night when I get myself up in the morning. I can't control how I fall asleep. I'm not really good at falling asleep, but I can control when I wake up. And so just kind of getting those basic things right, screens time and screen abuse and just numbing out with screens, I don't want to do that. I don't want my mind to go mush. I need my heart to be refreshed. I don't get full of peace and joy that leads to love and compassion by vegging out on screens all the time. I'm sure that you don't either, getting the basics basically right. And also being active, being very active. You know, I could go for a run, I could go for a cycle, I could go for a walk. Being active, it's really key for my mind, for stress. I do better with stress when I'm exercising. You do too. Okay, so number one, I set my aim to live with peace and joy. Number two, I set my Jesus times and I work through things in my Jesus times that are consistent every morning. Number three, I think like a grandpa, I zoom back. Number four, I get the basics basically right. And then number five, I intentionally live out and walk in the opposite spirit. And I think that's probably a YWAM phrase that I picked up from YWAM friends, but walking in the opposite spirit is I am going to live with joy, I'm gonna live with peace, and I'm not gonna live stressed. I'm not gonna live with the natural feelings. I am going to laugh. I'm gonna look for moments to laugh quickly, to laugh loudly. I know that joy can be contagious. And you know what, friends? The reality is anxiety is contagious and anxiety is everywhere. We're surrounded by it and I want to help people. And so I want to be a calm person, not anxious myself. And then I want to blow up other people's anxiety with laughter and with my intentional joy. I know that when I'm calm, when everybody else is anxious, I can settle the people around me, that emotionally I can help them be more settled. Well, Brian's not freaking out. Okay, then maybe I don't have to freak out. Maybe I don't have to be as anxious. It can challenge them in their current natural reactions. And then when I laugh and joy, there's just a defiance of pure, holy joy when the natural journey is stress, when the natural feelings are darkness or discouragement or feeling like wanting to give up. Joy just blows up the enemy's agenda to depress our hearts. Now, I've told you that I do this intentional Jesus time every morning, but sometimes in the middle of the day, I need to reset so that I can walk in the opposite spirit. And usually in that point, I have my verses, you know, serve the Lord with gladness that I might keep declaring over my heart to when I'm feeling resistance there, or I might command my heart, you know, be calm. Be at peace, and just those very quick things throughout the day to just keep resetting after doing my major resets in the morning so that I can keep walking in the opposite spirit. I have a lot of passion. I have a lot of emotion. You're going to experience it if you hear me teaching with joy. You're going to see that sort of aspect. And that's because I've been very intentional, because passion burns both ways. And the natural way is frustration and intensity and anger and all that kind of stuff. But that's not who I want to be. I want to be a peaceful person. I want to be a joyful person, don't you? And I want that joy to be contagious, and I want the people around me to be calmed and to see that they don't have to be victims of the emotions that they're feeling. Look, friends, I don't know your story, but I do know that you can trust Jesus with your life. And you can trust Jesus with your future. And you can trust Jesus with your now. No matter how messy it seems, no matter how dark it seems, no matter how hopeless it seems, you can genuinely trust Jesus to get you from here forward. He is paying attention to you. And that John passage about heaven where Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." It goes on to say, "Believe God, believe also in me. Believe in God, believe also in me." And that's so much connected about trusting God so that your heart isn't troubled. Jesus, my heart is naturally troubled. My heart is naturally troubled. Okay, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, Jesus. That's how I'm going to reset. Don't you want to be a person who exudes joy and who feels it, is not faking it, but feels joy? Don't you want to be a person who is more calm on the inside, less shaken by circumstances, and more peace-filled? I know you do. Who doesn't want to be that? I encourage you to go through this process, walk this journey with me, and learn to trust Jesus, learn to bring your burdens to him, to lay him down, and just get the right things right so that you can live with way more peace and joy, with way more consistency. You can have peace and joy even if nothing in your circumstances change. I believe that. I know that. It is definitely true. That said, if your situation is pretty awful, I do hope that it does change. And I pray your guts out that things change. But in the meantime, don't give up on the ability to have peace and joy today. Because Jesus is real and because Jesus can be trusted, that is a very real possibility for you as you trust in him. I hope you find this helpful. No doubt people in your life could find this helpful as well. Help me by getting the word out, maybe subscribing, maybe leaving a comment, rating, reviewing. Share, and help people find this podcast. That would be so great. Today, we're wrapping up season 2 of the Rewaking Podcast, and I am so excited about season 3. We've got such a crystallized vision and an excitement for where we're going with season 3 of this podcast, which should be coming in the autumn or something like that. Subscribe so that you can stay up to date about when that next season starts and is released. As always, my heart is to see our whole generation reawaken to walk in fresh, close, long-lasting, life-giving connection to the God of the Bible. Some people can fumble through this path alone, but everyone does better with help. God bless, family.